You know what, James? You'll always roll a 20 in your heart.
That's, I mean, you're not wrong.
Greetings, Apropos-y, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And special guest.
Eddie.
Yay, Eddie.
Woo. That's right. You heard it here. There's no, or you didn't hear it, as the case may be. There's no Jenna. Either way. However you want to pedantically state it, there's no Jenna. And that's the way it's going to be tonight. She's off doing tech or something. So
Jenna things. Yeah.
But that's okay. We don't need her. We've got drinks.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, I missed the memo on drinks.
That's on me.
Yeah. James.
I know, right, I'm a terrible engineer.
How about if you have the opportunity? Well, you've got a glass of something. It's water, probably.
okay.
Well, that's okay. Water is a drink. Yeah. I'll start. I am drinking. I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit here, and then I'm gonna come back to my drink. My parents were in town. This last
you're drinking weekend. Your parents.
Yes.
Oh no.
I don't know where to go with that. My yes and is terrible at the moment. no, my parents were in town this weekend, and I had them bring there's a brewery that opened back in my hometown in South Dakota that opened up maybe, I want to say, like 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. It's like it's fairly new. Huh. And I just haven't had the chance to go home for the past couple of years for
sure.
Reasons.
Weird.
But I wanted to give it a try, you know?
Yeah.
And so when my parents were like, we're going to come visit and see your new house and see the grandkids, I was like, do you want to bring a couple growlers of stuff with you? Because I want to try it.
The correct answer is yes, if you want the doors to be unlocked.
So they did, and they brought a couple things they thought I might be interested in, and I'm going to be drinking both of them through the course of the night. The second one, the one I'm going to be drinking later, just to let you know now, is it's a Belgian blonde. It's pretty good, but the one I'm starting with, mm-hmm. right here that is in this glass, like you take a drink and you're like, oh, this is a nice apricot beer. Oh. What's that? You know? And then for the next like 4 minutes, you just kind of sitting there going, ooh, my tongue is tingly. And it's this perfect level of spice. And it just kind of keeps going and going and going and going and going. And it just, so wonderfully done. So wonderfully done. I'm super, super impressed. So if you're ever in Wagner, South Dakota, first of all, I'm sorry, but second of all, go check out Shota Creek Brewing because they've got some good stuff there, it seems. That's what I'm drinking.
Nice. I have chosen a locally brewed cider, Wild State Cider from Duluth, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Pear.
The Duluth Perry or the beautiful. Wild State Perry is a very good one. I am fond of that one.
It's got a really good, rich, deep pear flavor. It's more like the skin of a pear than it is the flesh. But it's also, it's almost like somebody juiced the pear, which I assume is how the fuck they make it, and then and then threw the skins in after it. Because it does, it's got that rush of juice, like you're biting into a pear, but then it's got that round, earthy,
that kind of like almost tartness.
Yeah, of the skin. It's a gorgeous beverage.
Yeah, no, Wild State Pear is very, very good stuff.
They also have produced the cider which is closest to my beloved, no longer available in the States, favorite cider. And it's almost like being in love with someone and then breaking up with them, and then the Wild State Cider is the the new relationship. You know? Mm-hmm. Don't call your exes, kids. Don't do it.
I don't know. I'm still friends with most of my exes.
Yeah. Me too.
Anyway.
I mean, your exes are nice. That's why I'm friends with them.
Mm-hmm. I could tell you what I would be drinking.
What would you be drinking?
Because I do have, like, my sister even got me some. It's in the other room. But I would be drinking, indeed, LSD, because it's out right now. Mm-hmm. And that one's good. Because I don't know, it's like, that one's an earthy flavor, too, because it's the lavender and sunflower.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's very LSD, floral.
Yeah, so LSD is lavender, sunflower, I forgot what the D means.
The D is for delicious.
There's honey in it, too.
Daisies!
It basically tastes like the 60s. It's really good.
It tastes like a paisley couch looks.
Yeah, it does. And I'm not even from the 60s.
During a break dates. Or during a convenient
lavender, moment. Sunflower, honey, and dates.
Dates! Ooh. There it is. Yeah, dates are good.
Fantastic.
It's good. And it comes in huge cans.
If you find an opportune moment and wish to grab one of those, we have several breaks. And if you enjoy...
Two. We have two breaks.
Okay. then, you know, go ahead. Grab that and imbibe with us if you choose to. Please. Otherwise, water is completely acceptable.
Or both.
Yeah. Or, yeah, live your best.
Or you can add other things to it. We have no rules here.
We have three rules.
We have no rules here.
It's one of
James, no rules. James has three rules. We have no rules.
Okay. The rules, as far as I know them, are...
Yes.
No matter which one of the three of us is telling a story, you have to bury the lead. One.
Yeah, this is James's rule as well.
No, that is definitely also a salsa rule.
It's not a rule. I just do it because I like to.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Rule number two is that Mav sends 5 emails.
Yes. This is somehow also bizarrely a James rule.
And then rule number three is that... Jenna doesn't drink beer. That's it. Those are the rules. Not even necessarily in that order. Just that's what I've learned.
So your specific rule for Jenna not drinking beer is because
she
hates beer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were telling her. No, the rule from us is you don't drink beer.
No, again, this is James's rule.
It is a rule of the podcast whether Salsa chooses to codify it or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I do whatever I want.
Except, yeah.
Jenna's not here, so it's my show, okay?
Oh God. I'd fire you, but you have to push the buttons.
That's true. Anyway, I already started, so I'll keep going about what I've been doing. My parents were in town.
Hey.
No, they finally came and saw the new house because it has been warm enough to come drive to the new house. But they got to come and see the house and they hung out and they helped me. My dad helped me finish a woodworking project that I was working on.
Nice.
That turned out really well. While my wife went and absconded with my mother and went antiquing, which I was really upset with them because they went antiquing without me.
Go, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no, they were just like, I was just hanging out. I was trying to get this thing done in the garage with my dad, and then my wife and my mother and my mother-in-law are like, we're leaving now, bye. It's like, what? It's like, we're going antiquing, the three of us.
Yeah.
And it was like,
we're going to go do something that you love. Bye.
I want to do that thing too. And they're like, nope, we're leaving. Bye. So kids are downstairs in the basement. Have fun. Bye. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. So they had fun and they went off and did the thing. But it was good. We went to Umbria Pizza, which I'd never been to before.
Sounds shady.
No, really good. Really good. Umbria, not Umbra. Umbria.
I just thought you were not pronouncing the L's.
No, it's a region of Italy, Umbria.
Okay. Anyway, it's probably more Italian style pizzas, I'm guessing.
You'd be surprised. No, it had a lot of really creative. This is one of those pizza places that it's just like, we're going to make a bunch of different kinds of really weird pizzas. They had a gyro pizza. It was amazing. Oh. I had it. They had like gyro meat on top of it and like some tzatziki sauce and like, you know, tomatoes and you know, things that you would put on a gyro normally. And it was really, really, really good. They've got all sorts of fun things. And you can get a glass of wine.
All sorts.
Get a glass of wine and some tiramisu along with your pizza. Mm-hmm. And it was
Two other kinds of pizza. They've got the wine pizza and the tiramisu.
Oh, yeah. I should have clarified that. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can't tell if that's a joke or not.
James said it, so don't take it seriously.
Yeah. Also, I said it so it can't be a joke. That's the... I'm both not serious and not funny.
That's way too conflicting. I can't take it.
This is James's MO. If you can understand what's going on, James didn't say it.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to ask, then we're okay.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But yeah, no, it was a good time. We didn't, you know, do a lot of like stuff, like go places and do things and see. It was just kind of like we just hung out for a few days and then they left. It was a lot of fun though. I went and picked up the kids from school and brought them with me. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I walked in the after school thing and went and talked to my son, and my son was like chatting with me, and suddenly he did a double take out of the corner of his eye as he sees grandma and grandpa standing there and suddenly lost his mind. It was really cute.
Buddy.
Yeah, it was a good time. And then I finished the build I was finishing. I made a little table that goes behind the couch. Because we've got an air vent behind the couch, so we can't push the couch all the way up to the wall. And so there's, you know, a gap of probably 10 inches between the couch and the wall. And so I built a little table that goes behind the couch, to not only provide a gap, but also to give us a place to set like cups of tea and things like that while we're sitting on the couch. But I got a little creative with it, and I embedded a little power strip in the tabletop.
Yeah.
So there's a couple outlets and USB charger and ports in there. But the piece de la resistance is I put an invisible charger in one end of it. So
it can charge any device as long as that device is invisible.
Exactly. Wonder Woman's plane completely tops off. No, it's just... one end of the table, if you set your phone on it, will start to charge.
That's crazy.
I know. It's so cool. Because it's underneath it. It has a long range charger that's been, I routed out a pocket into the underside of the tabletop and put the long range charger in there. So
I didn't even know something like that existed.
Yeah.
How do you send power long range through the air without plugging?
It can go up to, depending on the material, it can go up to an inch. Go through up to an inch of countertop, depending on the material. You set it on the table and it starts to charge like magic. It's so cool. I'm pretty proud of it. Anyway, that's what I did. What about you, James?
This weekend was weirdly eventful. I scheduled nothing and did everything.
I know that weekend. I've had that weekend.
So I ended up having zero plans because Jax was going to be busy with an art show, and even so found myself doing, you know, doing good walk and talk in the rain stuff. And
do you like pina coladas?
I do. Why do you ask, Salsa?
Because I like pina coladas and they're delicious.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So doing that, going grocery shopping with someone, and then going on a nice date. I saw a movie which is terrible, but also amazing in its terribleness. Mm-hmm. Because fucking everybody is in it. Balls of Fury, starring Christopher Walken, Terry Crews, James Hong, not Brandon Lee, but Jason Scott Lee, I think, is the guy. Just so many people. Yeah, it's not a good movie, but it is a great movie.
Yeah, no, I remember it being one of those just silly fun.
So there was that, and then played a new tabletop activity board game. Which was ping pong ball based. You would try to make a shape out of your team's ping pong ball set in a grid that's kind of like an egg carton. I don't know, a 6x6 egg carton. And you bounce it off of the floor or the table, something like that, to try to get it to settle into the correct cups to make the shape that's on the card.
That sounds really intense.
It was weirdly intense because it takes a precision to not only get it to bounce off of the table, but, you know, even like it was harder than beer pong. Because the targets were like half the size of a red solo cup. I'm usually really good
at any color of solo cup for that matter.
I think it depends, but you know, the ones. Yeah. So I had a great time with that. It was wild fun. Yeah, I was somebody's emotional support human during a memorial service. And then just by Sunday night, I was fucking collapsed. I was inside out. I have to build up my social battery again. And I don't quite have it yet. yeah.
I played a board game too.
Yeah?
My daughter designed it.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That no, is really cool.
She's turning 9 in 3 months here or so.
Sure.
But yeah, this weekend she came up to me and was like, "Do you want to play my board game?" And yes, but it was just a piece of paper and it had a simple path, you know, kind of snaking across it with a start and finish line. But it had each square had these little symbols, and then she had a bunch of pieces of paper cut out with this, with the like different symbols on them. And there was like the black dot ones were the bad ones and the stars were the good ones. And then the question marks ones were trivia.
Oh,
so like if you landed on that, you had to answer like a riddle. And it was just cute. Cause you know, it was very simple and basic, but the creativity level was right up there. Yeah, it was pretty great. I was pretty proud of her. And I beat her handily.
Literally beat her at her own game.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got my family addicted to a card game.
Hey.
Have you ever heard of Coup?
Oh, yeah.
I have, but I can't picture it.
Like retro future, Dune political graphics.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's it's pretty fun. It's like the word? It's like the bullshit except with actual cards and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's political intrigue bullshit.
Interesting.
I know what that art style reminds me of. It reminds me of Phantom 2042.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's by the same artist who did Aeon Flux. So I guess also Aeon Flux.
Okay.
That's what the art style reminds me of.
Nice. So it's almost like, it makes me think of cyberpunk a little bit, trying to think of what Aeon Flux was like.
Aeon Flux was solidly cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I said retro future, which wasn't.
It's clear. Not cyberpunk. Aeon Flux is not cyber. Oh, Aeon Flux is more futuristic. Cyberpunk is like retro with gears.
No, that's.
Oh, no, steampunk. No, sorry. I'm thinking steampunk. No, yes. Yeah. Cyber. Oh, my God. Fucking squired over here. My God.
Yeah, you bought me a book by.
No, I had steampunk in my head for some. Yes, yeah. Absolutely cyberpunk. Sorry. It's okay. Don't mind me. I'm just going to sit over here in a corner and pretend that I'm dead.
No. Nerds mess things up like that all the time. There's many things to be nerd about these days.
Like, I'm not one to get embarrassed, but I'm embarrassed right now. That was really dumb of me. I can't. No. Holy cow, this beer is strong. Okay, I'm going to drink some more. that's my story.
You got to come back around to the other side like asteroids. Speaking of which, I was in a pizza place this evening, and I heard the opening tune for Galaga.
Yeah,
and it's the DeLeo brothers over in Mall of America, and they had a lasagna pizza that was exquisite. So this kid's like, "Oh, what?
When your pizza
this?
Doesn't have enough carbohydrates, lasagna that. Pizza?"
Yes, yeah, and then we also got garlic knots. So
go to Sarpino's and get mac and cheese pizza.
Oh my God!
Oh my!
Oh. So one of my favorite local pizzerias has a buffalo chicken mac and cheese pizza, and that's carbs like whoa.
Jesus,
but no,
Christ.
I heard that opening theme that of Galaga, and I was like, oh no, this is this tiny child's first Galaga. And I couldn't see what was happening, but for Jax, who was sitting across from me, I was like, okay, they've missed all of the little butterflies, and they're all okay. Yep, I can hear them swooping down.
Yep.
Oh no, yeah, okay, now they're starting to shoot. They're not long for this world. And then there was, yep, all right, there's swooping down. I was narrating what was happening on the other end of the restaurant and at the Galaga machine. I was like, oh, this tiny child is so lucky now. They've experienced the joy of top-down space shooters. Yeah. No. But yeah, that's, I had to, I was looking to buy a kilt for a wedding that I'm officiating on Thursday because I'm fat now. I have a kilt. It's designed for somebody with like a 36 inch waist.
I broke
to a
my 38 kilt out.
Inch waist.
It was 75 degrees on Saturday, so I got my kilt out, and I had to loosen it one notch from where I wore it last. Because my heavens,
I got that kilt. My original kilt, my family plaid, when I was 17, something like that. I was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
I was a thinner man.
Oh, none of us fit in the stuff we were in 13.
Yeah, heavens, I certainly don't.
I was like 120 pounds when I was 17.
I wrestled 112 when I was a junior.
I was 180 pounds throughout all of high school, and then all of my 20s until I hit 25. And then I gained 50 pounds, and then went back down to 200 pounds through daily exercise, and then got into a really happy relationship and didn't exercise.
Oh, no.
Then got into a daily exercise regimen to be Khal Drogo, to like make a Khal Drogo costume and be like every day, 100 days.
A very puffy Khal Drogo.
Right. No, I was like 100 days of Khal Drogo, day 3. Time to look more like Khal Drogo than Khal Froyo. You know, like, this is what I'm doing for today. And I just did 100 days of Khal Drogo. But yeah, I lost like 40 pounds, 30 or 40 pounds, just over 3 months, something like that, through intense, intense physical exercise and calorie counting. And there's just no way to maintain all of that. So I just,
I was a really scrawny kid, but then I suffered a career ending injury called stop caring.
Yeah. No, my metabolism broke in college, and, suddenly calories mattered.
Yeah. I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
Like, and when I went to college, my activity levels plummeted.
I have a feeling that's why what happened to me too.
So
that's pretty much what happened to me at the U of M. Yeah. I went in super scrawny and felt like I could eat anything, and then I came out a lot bigger.
Yeah. And I mean, I have no problem being the size I am now. I do need to get back in the gym and start to get my endurance back up.
Yeah.
Because festival season is coming up in just a couple weeks. Correct. And I'm going to be walking all over fucking sites all over the country. And I'm going to need to not be gasping for breath in the middle of my show. But yeah. Other than that.
Especially your show. Right.
I do need another kilt though. The problem is I don't know what, like, when it comes to tartans, I don't want to get
Blackwatch.
I don't want to get Blackwatch. I don't want to get something fairly generic. I want to get my tartan. But the problem is my Scottish side is far enough back that we don't know exactly what clan it is. And so, like, gotcha. We're working on it. Like, I've got my a couple of my siblings are like working on trying to find our heritage, and they're peeling back layers and stuff like that. But up until this point,
one of the books that might help is a book called Tartan for Me, which based on the last names, regardless of spelling, like it will list 50 different spellings for the same last name, and then it will say,
but we don't even know that
this family,
but we don't know the last name.
You don't know your unmarried last name?
My unmarried last name is Czech.
Yeah.
Because it's coming up from my mother's side.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's coming up through my but it's all coming up through my mother's side, through my grandfather's mother, and then that's where things get lost into time. And so we start to lose, and we don't know what the family name is.
Gotcha.
You
took Raiderly's name. Just go with Raiderly.
Go with Sterling. Fine. However, the Sterling tartan is ugly.
How do you know?
Because my wife has told me that it is ugly.
And you looked it up now.
That's fair. Okay.
It's got like this like green and orange in it. That's just like it. Yeah, it doesn't. It's not not an attractive.
I'm jealous. Probably jealous.
No, you'd probably would be, but yeah, it's not a pretty one.
I think it's pretty.
It's really not.
But I'm fairly lucky that I like my patrilineal heritage is just straight back. Recorded. It's all like very easily traced. But they didn't, I went to a store that I didn't want to necessarily buy my kilt and stuff from because They're the ones that appear out at Fest, and they sell tartans and that kind of stuff. And the way that they do that is by having like extraordinarily attractive shop clerks.
You're not talking about God Kilt.
I am.
Okay.
I got my purse from them.
And I like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. And sex work is valid work, but also I just, something about that. Just, I was like, I don't like being marketed at in this way.
No, I mean,
based on like what
God Kilt definitely leans into the, God Kilt definitely, you know, leans into the being a little bit more, you know, silly about it, I guess you could say, but they still know their stuff and they're still quality and they're good people. They've done like, there was a, there was a thing that happened. I can't remember what it was, but God Kilt raised, like they did a fundraiser and they raised a bunch of money.
Oh, nice.
For like relief from something, and now I can't remember what it is.
Basing my shopping decisions off of part of my experience today, which is that they had a bunch of stuff in the store, which admittedly are products made by other companies, but they're stamped with the G word and the racial slur that's a G.
Sure.
And,
is it GY?
Yeah.
The Romani one.
And and I was like, I know that they're not responsible for branding this and that these are probably popular products, but also
And I mean, it's word might not have gotten to them either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That is fair.
But yeah, I mean, if they have been good and done, especially good in communities and things like that, I mean, that accounts for something. And other things can be accidental or lack of information. You know, not everybody knows everything.
That's definitely something I keep learning in my life. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know.
Yep.
What is the name? There's a place in northern Minneapolis, in North Minneapolis.
Oh, Celtic Croft.
Yes. Have you been to Celtic Croft?
Yeah. You have to make an appointment to go to the showroom, which is by no means a detriment.
Sure. Yeah.
But because I went to the open God Kilt shop today.
I see.
Because Celtic Croft was closing early today. I knew that I just needed to get a kilt and flashes. And a sword.
Sure.
And I got what I think is an all right sword. I think it's pretty good. It's a wedding gift. I'm inspired by the wedding sword that you have, Salsa. So we intend for that to be part of the ceremony and for that then to be a gift from all of the booth to the bride and groom.
Gotcha.
But I had searched every Fest sword armorer. I knew. I talked, and they were all like, "Oh, well, you know who will have it." Arms and Armor said, "Oh, well, you know, folks over at Badgers, you should talk to them." And I talked to folks over at Badgers, and they were like, "Yeah, well, you know, we're really behind, and we're not doing any custom orders." And I was like, "Literally, any nice hand and a half sword is perfect. Let's talk about it." And they were like, we have nothing in stock. We have to build everything up before our first fair in like 2 months. I'm sorry, we just don't have it. Why don't you check with Legacy? And I checked with Legacy, and Legacy was like, no, we just sold it. We had a picture of all these and we sold all the ones you were interested in. And I was like, great that you did, but also damn it. Celtic Croft sold me a couple of my swords, and so I was keenly interested in maybe buying one from them. I might still, yeah, I'm hoping that they'll have my family plaid. But what I'm looking for pretty specifically is family plaid in a 40-inch waist. And also that it, if I can find an acrylic or one that's hypoallergenic, mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for, because I'm seeing somebody who's allergic to wool.
Ooh.
So
that's,
that's hard.
Yeah.
That's so tough.
I want to go places and do things and have a kilt on with this person, because, that's something that she likes, but, yeah, it means that I have to not be wearing wool. So yeah.
Get that. It's like going to con with an allergy to rice.
Oof.
Me.
I remember the convention that I helped found had a guest who was literally allergic to every food option except for plain white rice cooked in a rice maker that she brought. And bottled water from a selection of brands.
Huh.
And like anything else, she was risking being highly allergic to it.
Ooh, and that's scary.
So we were like, this is the fridge for you that has all of those things. Here is the rice. Here's your rice maker. Everything's plugged in. You can use the bottled water to make the rice. She's like, yeah, that's what I do. All right. Enjoy.
Oh, that's really rough.
But yeah, that's another thing that I was up to. But yeah, I still want to go buy Celtic Croft and see if there's a sword that I like mm-hmm. better.
Sure. I mean, it's nice to have one just in case and then mm-hmm. keep looking.
A backup sword. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Should we take a break?
Sure.
I'm up for it.
All right, let's take a break.
We'll come back and talk to Addy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to
find out all the things.
Do the thing.
All right. We're going to be back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Salsa, I think that you, out of any of us, have the most experience with starting podcasts.
I suppose I could just say, and we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Addy.
Welcome back. You made it. You have beer.
I do.
Yay, you've got some LSD for
it's
us.
Local, yeah.
Woo.
It's backwards on my camera for some reason.
No, it's forward for us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I've been drinking the LSD. That's why.
I have switched over to the blonde personally.
Far more powerful than the Kool-Aid. Yeah.
The ghost pepper is good, but I can only drink so much of it at a time.
I would drink so much of it.
Yeah. Anyway, Addy, what have you been up to recently that might be of interest to people since the last time you were on this show?
Yeah. Well, actually, one of the reasons I started this is because of the last time I was on the show, too.
That's awesome.
I wanted to build a way where I didn't have to do a 9-to-5 job and mm-hmm. I could be able to do my art and also finally have time to do my stories, like my comic book, which is the original reason I was up here, because that's been on hiatus since the pandemic started, so I really missed them.
So you're blaming us, is what you're saying?
No, I'm blaming the Rona.
No, you're blaming us for the other thing.
Oh, although the funny part,
the good thing,
the funny part too is I was writing the main character Otto in that comic to represent just how I interacted with the world. And then during the pandemic, I was diagnosed with autism, and I went and reread my own comic book, and everything Otto does is autism related. He doesn't get social skill. He doesn't understand socially what's going on. He He is highly sensitive to everything. He has a very strong skill. Like, he's got, what is that syndrome called? When they're really good at one thing?
Savant?
Savant syndrome. So he's got savant syndrome of being able to basically listen and read machinations and be able to build anything as long as he has a bunch of scraps. Mm-hmm. So, like, he can just... So that's... And then I'm, like, going through this and going... Mm-hmm. Whoa. So lately, over the pandemic, I've been researching as much as I can on neurodiversity and also LGBTQ because, and then started going, man, there's like nobody really making a lot of stuff for any of this kind of community. There's stuff being made, but it's like corporations love to stick a rainbow on things and stuff like that. And usually they're just, a lot of people are doing it to save face, and I was looking up a bunch of designs. And while I did find a bunch of neurodiverse or neurodivergent people who had designs, I'm like, cool! Mm-hmm. I found way more people who were not neurodiverse with a lot of puzzle symbols, which is bad, and a lot of shirts of "I support my son with autism" or "I support this," and I'm just like,
sure.
And I'm like, but what about promoting stimming, because even neurotypicals can stim. So I'm like, so I'm
tell,
just trying
tell the audience about your shirt. They can't see it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I'm currently wearing one of my shirts. It's called "Stimming Is My Vibe." So it's like, because one of the things that I do is I always either have to flap my hands or do this or play with my ring, or I have to bounce. And bouncing makes me feel more comfortable, especially when it's a really crowded area. And
I do the leg bounce.
Yeah, leg bounce.
Yeah.
It's the ADHD, ASD, like, united.
Knitting, yep.
Yes. It's like, so, it's trying to promote stimming is like, a good thing to do, because so many people get annoyed by it. But it's like, but they're not hurting anybody, like, and it's creating a peace of mind for the person stimming. So I'm like, well, why don't we just put it into a shirt? And then I'm also a huge nerd. So, me and my two partners, Liz and Mara, who also are helping me with the bird hive, we play Dungeons & Dragons a lot now. A little bit less trying to get everything together, but we literally just played a game last night, which was fantastic. And we are recording it to try to make a podcast, but we don't know if it will, because we just don't know how much time we'll have.
Sure, yeah, it's not like you're doing anything else.
Yeah, so far, the bird hive, I'm just, basically, like, a real cheesy way to say it is I'm trying to sell hugs, because my kind of thing is I have too much unconditional love, and too many people in my past have manipulated that. So I've had, like, a pretty traumatic past, but I still, no matter how much trauma I endure, still don't want to lose that sense of, oh, this person's hurting, I want to help them.
Sure, yeah.
But there's only so much energy a person has.
You haven't become jaded by it.
No, I don't want to, but I also realize I don't have enough energy to be able to do all the things I wish to do and still be able to take care of myself. So I thought, well... Mm-hmm. What if I made something that made people really excited about who they are as a person, and they got to wear it? So I'm like, I'll sell self-confidence. And I mean, normally, if this wasn't a capitalistic society, I would just give them away for free. But because we all need to make a living, this is funding my existence. So I just figure.
That's fantastic.
And this is my first time starting my own business. I've tried other projects in the past. A lot of them have failed. And I'm just like, you know, live and learn. And now I'm learning how to do this. And this one, I'm trying to, like, keep fixing it until it works. Like, I'm not giving up on it.
That's inspiring. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, no, and some of the designs are just... some of them. All of them are absolutely fantastic. The one I picked up, I mentioned a couple of them in last week's episode, but the one I bought was the Chaotic Awkward, because that delights me to no end. But the one that I feel like a lot of people I know would do well having is the your expectations are not my responsibility.
Yes.
Having
that one's blown up a little bit.
Yeah, I can imagine that one is getting a lot of attention because that is a fantastic thing to put on a shirt, if that makes any sense. That's
why I find your shop inspiring is like it's like exactly what I want to say.
Yeah, it's well, and like you were saying with the thing, you've got the different themes and you've got pride and neurodivergence, but then you have violently positive, which I find purely delightful.
Yeah.
To have one of your themes is violently positive. Love it.
Yeah, and it's like that. Like, I named it that just because my not being jaded thing. I'm like, nope, I'm going to love you until you either hate me because of your own issues or you accept me. Because I've learned a lot of, and that kind of comes from I've learned whenever I've set up boundaries of, hey, I need these boundaries because I feel like I'm being extorted. And people go, how dare you? Like,
yeah.
I guess I was being extorted. But yeah, it's like that violently positive. So it's like, I'm not afraid to cut you out. But also, I love you. Kind of a thing. No,
the one I am surprised that James hasn't already purchased, if he hasn't already, is the you can't compete with me. I want you to win, too.
Like, I love it.
That is such a James shirt.
I saw it, and I do get paid in a little while and am considering it. Yeah.
So, and I mean, we can definitely rave about the designs, but I recommend people just go to the website and check it out. Yeah. That way we don't have to just talk about things they can see with their own eyes. Instead, what I would like to talk about is, what has the experience been like of putting together a shop like this and becoming an entrepreneur, if you will?
Oh gosh, for everyone it's different, I'm pretty sure. Because buying,
well, sure. What's it been like for you though?
Oh god, because buying. Well, I have a saying called, and this I started the saying after the first time I was laid off because they laid off the entire animation department a few years ago. This was like 2016, like both in the before times, and we and during then. We had to work for 6 months after knowing we were getting laid off. So I posted on the inside chat that everyone could see that my message was flowers grow in shit. So it's like, yes, we're all in shit, but we're about to grow. So just trying to have positivity with it without dismissing anybody, like trying to be encouraging, but also trying to be validating, which is a really, really hard line to balance on.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, like that was a motto I had from then. And I'm an info dumper, so please let me know if I'm speaking too much.
No, so, this segment should be entirely about you, and what you're saying is fascinating. So
you cannot talk more than James usually does.
Also that.
Oh no. Oh, that sounds like a challenge. what had happened is, so fast forward a few years, like a few years after, when the pandemic hit and my life got turned upside down as well as everyone else's, and everyone got turned upside down different way. I found a whole different friend group. We started playing D&D, and like through that, I was able to talk to more people, even here in Minnesota, that I was too afraid to reach out with, because I'm like, oh no, I can't reach out to that person. They don't know who I am. And then they were like, no, do it. So I did. And so I got to talk to more people. And then that fell apart in a burning fire pile. Like, in the worst possible way something can fall apart, this fell apart. Like, it was one of those, oh, I feel really great. And then, oh, no, we lost it.
That's okay. We just keep going on as if Salsa is really here. And as a matter of fact, I think I can almost hear his voice now. But he is dead to us. That's how this.
But so what ended up happening is, you know how, like, oh man, the best way I can say it is, even in my 30s, I'm suddenly realizing that people still bully each other. And it went from, it literally went from every day of, I just want to tell you guys I love you guys, like from the group, and then suddenly, within a week, completely switched And for some reason, I was the villain. And I'm like,
What did I do? I'm sorry. What did I do?
It's true. It's like, oh, and that was basically my life for a really long time. Was what did I do? And I was, I really wanted to be able to fix it. So I'm like, okay, because this is a really good friend group. I really want to be part of it. So I'll fix it. And I felt they had made me feel like there was no one else. Like they were the only ones who could love me. Later on, I started learning about emotional control and stuff like that. And I went, okay. It was worse than I thought it was at the time. But they, when I put my boundary out, they decided, they told me, well, there's no reason we should talk anymore because you took away our only reason for talking, which was talking about my mental health. So-
Well, thank you for minimizing me into my diagnosis instead of treating me like a person.
Jesus.
Fuck.
So, like, the Bird Hive has some pretty, like, deep, dark roots.
That's amazing.
What ended up happening is two of the girls that were there with, that are helping with the Bird Hive were also part of that group, and they were hearing both sides, and they were like trying to figure out what was going on. I was trying to figure out what was going on. I was like telling them everything I knew, and they were trying to learn from the other side what was going on. And then the whole group fell apart, and two of them were still talking to me, and so I'm like, huh? Well, you two heard both sides of the story. And you're still, like, you're coming over here and you're trying to help me understand all this, which was good and probably one of the only reasons I'm still alive, because my mental state crashed after that. So it's like, but the thing about that, and I'm not trying to bring this up for sympathy or anything like that. I'm bringing this up because basically the person I was died that day. Like, that was just it. They were gone. But at the same time, I also felt it. Like, I felt the grief of it, and I was just in this state of not being able to function because I was in horrible burnout for about 9 months, I think. I had to leave my job because of it, because I could no longer keep up with demands and all this stuff. And then basically in about October, I just woke up one day just thinking about life, finally being able to think about life, and went, I should make t-shirts. It was just like that. I'm like, I should do this. And when I talked to my friend, like my two friends, they're like, yeah, you should do that. That would be amazing. My family like, do it. And so I decided to learn as much as I could and learned there is so much to entrepreneurship. There's the setting up of printing. There's the making sure you're doing tax laws correctly. There's the setting up a store. And there's like, so all of this stuff.
So advertising.
So started in October, and I didn't even have shirt designs yet. So from October to December, I was trying to make 20 shirt designs to start out with to prove to myself that I would indeed have something to sell. Mm-hmm. And so by December, I had over 20 shirt designs. So I was like, okay,
hey.
Got this. And so then in December, I was trying to figure out, okay, what should I go with? And just researching Shopify and like Winx and like all this other like places. I ended up going with Shopify because I had more bells and whistles and more online support, which I desperately need. And
like,
I need it.
I mean, it's not your specialty. Go to the experts. Yeah. Let them do their thing.
Oh, and they're very nice. And then I went through Printful because Printful controls their printing. So all their printing is consistent, which is to me is a huge thing.
Sure. So yeah. Like, you get the quality.
Yeah. And the coolest part was, so in February, I was like, all right, I want to get this launched, and I'm trying to do it all myself, because I'm the only one who has this full-time. The other two, like Liz and Mara, they're helping, but they have full-time jobs, so it's it was one of those things of they could only do so much, and they only had so much bandwidth, which, to me, I'm like, I understand.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of how the Bird Hive sounds and the language we use, stuff like that, comes a lot from their help in wordsmithing, because I am not as good with words, but I'll give them things, and they're like, this is how to write it better. And I'm like, oh my God, how do you do this, man? So they've shaped the voice of this and everything, and they're even like putting out some designs now, which I'm really excited in the next batch.
Excellent.
Oh.
Because there's some Lisa Frank ones that Liz has that I really like. Lisa Frank in D&D.
Oh my goodness. Can you give us a teaser of when that might be happening? Or is that...
Probably before Christmas.
Oh, you heard it here, folks. Christmas presents, go to the bird hive.
But yeah, it's like figuring all that out. In February, I realized I couldn't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And because they'd actually put student loans off, so we hadn't had to pay student loans for like 2 years at this point. Yeah. I was like, well, I saved up a bunch of money and I haven't been like eating out or anything. So I haven't had to pay like my student loans, so all that went into like a savings account, and I was I could either pay off the rest of my student loan, or I could invest more into this business, and I hired the very company I had left because of the burnout to help me build the website. and they're Fuzzy Duck, which they're excellent.
That's fairly poetic, though.
And I already know how they worked, and I knew how to talk to them.
Sure, yeah.
I knew the stuff they needed, and it was like, oh, I love
process.
This.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant.
Since then, it was just like setting it up, and then this week, it's been putting out fires because I launched Monday, and then found out all week shipping wasn't working like the correct way, because I have it like over a certain amount, you get shipping free, and they were like, nope, that's not working. So I fixed it, and then actually Jenna helped me. This morning, she was like, by the way, it's not shipping to Minnesota. And I went, what? And I realized when I'd fixed it, I'd made it so that you could only get your order if you'd spent over $75.
Whoopsie.
I'm so thankful that Jenna like immediately messaged me going, this isn't working. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Fixed it immediately.
One of your logic gates was in backwards.
Oh my God. And it's because by the way, when you start running a business, the amount of times you see an app or a website that says everything in one, it's a lie.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You're talking to the right.
Completely. 100%.
Oh, God.
Because every time I'm like, I fixed it. Because I fixed shipping here in Shopify. Like, no, you have to go into Printful and put it in these, not just this section, but these three sections too. I'm like, okay. And you also have to put it into this section, and this section, and this section, in all of the dashboards. And every single dashboard keeps going, we're all in one. Like, I guess technically you're all part of one.
Shit.
But it's been...
Welcome to the rest of your career.
But it's been really great because me doing this and even some of the people I got to talk to more because of the burning pile that burned to a crisp of bullying. Like that's how I got to meet Dawn Krasnowski and talk to her more.
Aww.
And so like I love that I get to talk to her more because she's a delight.
She is absolutely.
and because she's more social, like at con last year, she was like, hey, do you want to come out? And like me and Mara, like, because we're so like introverted, we're like peeking our noses out of our hotel rooms, like, okay. One of the big reasons I do panels at con is to get over my fear, my social phobia. And some days I do really good on panels and I info dump like this. And some days I sit there and go, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. I don't know what to do. So the big thing with the bird hive for me is I'm trying to create basically a way that works with my work schedule so that, because I have basically social phobia, I have autism, I have ADHD, I have dyslexia, I have dyspraxia, I have a sensory processing issue. So it's like, I have all these things, and I didn't know I had all these things until like last year. I'm like, oh, that's why people look at me weird, or that's why I don't understand these social situations.
Everything makes sense suddenly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. Like, I remember I still have Oh God, when James came and asked me, "Hey, do you want to be on this podcast?" I was like, "Oh no, I remember being on the last one, and I want to apologize for everything I said."
Oh, not at all. We're happy to have you on again. So
yeah, absolutely. We're fine.
But that's all part of the social the social phobia. It's like no, I constant. Yeah. But
I understand, which is why I'm telling you. Yeah. You were great.
And I'm learning that. So I'm like, oh, but now that I know it's a phobia and I know, oh, this is abnormal. Not everyone thinks like this. That helps.
Yeah.
So it's like, and now with the bird hive, like getting that together and fixing it up, I'm now going to be able to have like the 9 to 5 that isn't quite 9 to 5. Like I still have mm-hmm. like a 40-hour work week. But it's more either spread out or condensed, depending on how much I'm hyper-focused or yeah. not having good functioning days. Like today was not a good functioning day at all.
Sure.
But but I'll have like 3 days in a row. Where I'll work 12 hours, like complete without eating, and just be like, I need to. It's just work. With the sun just goes up and sets in the background. I have no idea.
Yep.
So I just go with the flow now.
Yeah. No. I know that one. So, like I said, some of the designs that you've put out here have just been absolutely amazing with some of the yeah. things that you've been putting on the shirts, like the expectations, you know, and stuff like mm-hmm. that. How therapeutic has it been to be able to put some of those ideas down into a physical form and kind of manifest them into more of a concrete from the abstract? Has that been like good to just kind of get those ideas out of your head? Or
yeah, actually that's very true, because one of the biggest things that I do as an illustrator, like I do a lot of mm-hmm. digital work, and not a lot of my stuff does come out. Like if a computer dies somewhere, that might be I never see that work again, but it does feel very therapeutic to like order samples, have them come in, and then mm-hmm. I remember the day I got my expectations one, and I didn't come up with the line per se, like the words are like have been used before by not me. I just put the design together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to take credit for. I don't like to take credit for things that aren't mine. But and I was inspired, it was a trans group that had it, and I was like, that's so true, mm-hmm. I need that for the trans flag, and like everybody like needs this saying, because it's so true.
Yeah.
Like,
it absolutely is, yeah. Board.
And I remember getting that shirt out of the packaging and just crying. Just like, which I was just so excited to get it. It was a very emotional moment, and this year specifically has been a lot of that kind of thing, because I can't talk about it too much because of NDAs, but I've yeah. gotten to do some paintings for basically like a sister company to Wizards of the Coast. So I've gotten to do some D&D things, which makes me really excited. So I'm like, but I can't show or talk about it in too much detail yet, which is making me like burst at the seams.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I want to be able to show people this, because it's like, I'm actually, it's weird, but I went from depression to this place of, well, I guess it doesn't matter if I exist anymore, to, oh, look, I'm starting to actually live my dream. And so I guess like my lesson of that whole thing is, in those low points, it's like just knowing that it will get better, even though it's really hard to believe it at the time. Yeah. It really does get better, but it's just, oh, it's just getting through that first hump. It's like, and then, but then when you get out of the hump, there's this sense of, there's like this clarity and sense of no fear of, it's like, well, what am I going to do now? Die? I'm going to go start my own business. So it's been like a
I'm
lot
glad
more
that that's your
now.
Answer. Like, sincerely,
I agree. Yeah, that yeah. could have gone a different way, but
true.
I am relieved.
That's delightful.
I know we should. Like, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I know a lot of other people have gotten to that, especially during the pandemic. Like, the pandemic has made a lot of people go through, get stuck with their basically inside their heads a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's like figuring out who you are is the biggest process. Like, I think the biggest reason I hated being alone was because I didn't know who I was. And when you don't know something, you become afraid of it. Yeah. And so the more I was alone, the more I'm like, oh, I like these things. I'm scared of these things. I enjoy this. I show happiness by flapping my hands. And I'm like, oh, I can actually show that now, because before I noticed nobody else would do it. So I just like, I can't show how happy I am.
Very self-conscious about it. Yeah.
I get a birthday or Christmas present and go, hmm! And then everyone's like, she hates it. And I'm like, I don't hate it.
I just don't know how to express this emotion right now.
Sorry, I interrupted before.
No, that's quite all right. Do not. We interrupt each other a hell of a lot more on a normal basis. I just wanted to say we should probably start to wrap this up and get ready for a break. Is there any final plugs or thoughts you wanted to leave us with on Bird Hive? Give us the URL and give us your elevator pitch or whatever. Tell people to buy stuff.
My elevator pitch. Let me I'm going to read it because my memory is not always as good.
Perfect.
Let's see. Where are you? I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
You're just fine.
We are. I can't even find it. Never mind. I'm trying to be the birdhivedesigns.com is. We're trying to be an all-inclusive neurodiversity nerds as well as LGBTQ, and I want everyone to feel happier in their own skin, being able to show off who they are as an individual. And it's like we should love us ourselves for who we are. That's a huge thing. It's a huge part of growth. And so that's my biggest part of why I'm making these shirts.
All right. Cool. All right. So, dear listeners, go be comfortable in your own skin by being comfortable in a really awesome shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can use that. I give it to you. I guess we're going to take a break now. And then when we come back, we'll do our usual nonsense.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. And check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I blame you on the timing on that, James.
Thank goodness. I'm relieved that is my fault.
Sometimes... And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Addie, and I want to make that a t-shirt now. I'm relieved that is my fault.
You are welcome to it.
Do you find that your life just like you'll be walking down the street and you're like, oh, that would be a good shirt?
A lot. One of the things that I want to make into a shirt is, I'm weird, you're welcome.
I love it, and I would buy that shirt in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm.
And it used to be because I used to say, I'm sorry, I'm weird. And apparently, like, you know, it's just not that I should just say, no, you're welcome.
I would absolutely 100% wear that shirt. But that's not what we're doing right now. That was in the last segment. We're putting that to bed. Now it is time. It is time now for a fast five.
Fast five.
I forgot what that is.
That's okay. I will explain it.
Fast, and there are five of them.
What a fast five is the listener of the podcast. Listeners, send us a series of five questions. Choices, I should say. They are choices, A or B choices. We do not have any context what those are. We just are given two choices, and we have to choose, not knowing what they mean. And it is only after we have made all of our choices that we come back around and we find out what the choices meant. And we decide if we won or if we regret so many things. It's like a game where nobody wins anything ever. Today's Fast Five questions come to us from...
I've got the...
I've got the thing, James. You don't...
I'm aware. I don't seem to care, and it's because I don't.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Troy to Troy.
Woo! Yay, Troy!
Troy writes,
okay, sorry.
Opening thoughts. Considering COVID has greatly reduced the amount of time I can spend listening to podcasts, I'm so far behind. I'll probably hear this in 2023 or something. I'm sure I'll enjoy it then. I'm sure you will too, Troy.
We're sure you will too.
All right. Question number one.
Ding.
I've got it, James. I've got it. It's right here. You can see it. I'm holding it. It's right here.
We can't see you at all.
I can.
Question number one, rough or smooth?
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Corduroy jacket or blazer?
See, I'm wondering if he's trying to throw us off with chunky and creamy peanut butter, maybe? Like a food item? Like rough or smooth?
If it's a texture, I have to go with rough, because if it's smooth, I'm going to throw up.
I'm going to go
smooth
with...
smooth food or just smooth anything?
Like smooth, slimy textures make me like... Oh, nauseous.
Yeah. Yeah, like, one of the guys
like,
that...
What, like silk or satin?
Silk or satin.
I like smooth feelings, but not smooth food.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Texture food,
One of the guys involved with Rooster Teeth that created Red versus Blue can't look at wet bread without throwing up.
Poor guy.
Yep.
I'm going to go with, I like chunks of corn in my cornbread as opposed to just the cornmeal. So rough.
Milk or cheese? Which is the better thing to stir in with your eggs?
You shouldn't use milk.
Why?
Because you actually get creamier eggs if you don't add milk.
I add milk to mine and they're fine.
Yeah, try whipping just the eggs.
I have.
Right.
I've also whipped room temperature butter in there. That goes really well.
That is good.
The best one so far is sour cream.
Yes.
I wish I could have sour cream.
Aw. I also wish that you could have sour cream.
I will just eat my sour cream.
In front of me.
It's so smooth.
God, why? No.
Sorry.
Not.
I'm really not.
He's not sorry at all.
All right. Question number two.
Ding.
Oh, God. What was that?
The ocean or outer space?
What is the cooler reason to wear a pressurized suit? Checking out the bottom of the ocean or being on a spacewalk?
See, oddly enough, the idea of going to space doesn't scare me at all. But the idea of going down into the ocean kind of terrifies me, actually.
It is. It is far spookier because there are not just rocks and the usual things trying to kill you.
There's all sorts of creatures.
Yeah. Have you seen an elbow squid? Like when they first discovered the elbow squid, seriously, it looks like a Lovecraft drawing.
Bowfish.
The barrel fish that's completely clear except for its staring eyes.
That the brain is like the face is completely transparent and the eyes are just too
bright. I think it's the barrel fish. Yeah.
That is the barrel fish.
Yeah. That thing is spooky as F.
But what are the ones that like the lantern fish or whatever that is with just the fuck all teeth?
Yeah, anglerfish.
Anglerfish. Yeah. Oh, the males are so tiny compared to the females.
Yeah. But I mean, I never had a problem before. Like I grew up swimming in the Missouri River and I've been in the ocean many times, but there was one experience shortly after college where I was swimming in a lake and I had swum out to a buoy and I swam out to the buoy and I grabbed the buoy and I looked down into the water and there was seaweed like doing this under me, and it freaked me the fuck out. And I swam as fast as I could back to the shore and I was like, nope. Because it creeped me out so much, the seaweed coming to get me, and it tripped me. Something in my brain went flight. And ever since then, the
thalassophobia thing.
I don't know. Ever since then, the depths have freaked me out. It's just the idea of those seaweeds wrapping themselves around me and pulling me down. Just nope. So.
I was just also wondering if the Fast Five, do we come up with the question or do we find the question afterwards?
We try to guess what the context is going to be, but yeah, we will get the real context later.
Okay, cool. I was going to say ocean just because I actually like how creepy the ocean is. It's so cosmic horror underwater.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You never know. Yeah.
No, I am not a horror fan.
More of the space around the Earth than the depths of the ocean.
Yeah,
and that we're like intimate with the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And also, the sea pig comes from the ocean, and I love the sea pig.
Indeed. Yeah. All right. Question number 3. Foot or meter?
Foot or meter?
Yeah, I mean the metric system is just it by all measurable, you know, parameter superior.
Well, by one measurable parameter, the metric system.
The metric system is infinitely better.
Yeah. Imperial sucks.
Imperial does suck.
It's awful. Like you can even measure the imperial system better by the metric system. Metric system is better. Why are we still using the other nonsense? What are you gonna do? that I'm gonna go though. I'm gonna go with. I would rather keep time to music by tapping my foot than by keeping the meter in my head.
What about a metronome?
Still tapping my foot.
Okay.
So I'm going to go foot. I know I'm going to regret it, but I'm going to say foot just to hedge my bets.
All right. Think.
Say, like, what size? I'm wondering if it's like a size of something you have to eat. If that's the case, I'm going with foot because I don't want to eat a meter or something.
Oh, a meter of sausage.
Yeah, the meter braten.
The meter braten.
A meter in, a meter out.
Yeah, I would eat a meter braten in a heartbeat.
Yeah. How many animals are in a meter braten?
Literally one heartbeat, because by the time you get to the end of it,
your heart has to stop. James, I am a sword swallower. I have been practicing for this.
I am trained. Yeah. They're like, oh no, everyone's gonna die unless somebody can swallow this meter braten in under a minute. And you're like, I was born for this. Yeah. Jesus. All right. All right. I've wanted to try the meter braten. I think I would go meter. Yeah.
What are you about you, Addie?
Oh, I already picked. I would go with a foot in case it's something I have to eat. Well, it's all good.
I forgot. All right. Next question is question number 4.
Ding.
Marshmallows or tater tots?
Oh. No.
The only thing I can think of is a casserole topping.
Mm-hmm.
Like you put marshmallows on top of the sweet potatoes.
Or you put
tater tots on top of, like, you know, the meat stuff in a casserole dish.
Which is the better way to use sweet potatoes? Cooked with marshmallows on the top, like baked with marshmallows on the top, or as tater tots.
What is the best snack to use for setting a trap for small animals?
I would totally fall for either of those.
Why is honey, James is stuck in the mouse trap again.
That would literally work.
I think I kind of want to just go with marshmallows because I really like marshmallows. I'm really scared of what that's going to be.
What would be the better thing to throw up in the air and catch in your mouth?
I thought that was
the big tater tots or the big marshmallows.
Big marshmallow.
Yeah, plus, I can't.
Big marshmallow makes a noise when you eat it.
Like, Big Marshmallow is my rapper name.
Wow. I think that that Stay Puft has beaten you to that.
Is his name Big Marshmallow?
I mean, I would assume.
I thought he was called Stay Puft.
Yeah, he's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yes.
But
my rapper name would be
Big Marshmallow.
Big Marshmallow.
Okay.
Which is, you will note, not the same as Stay Puffed.
This reminds me of my favorite rapper name I've ever heard, which was Matt's, which was White Noise.
Oh man, that was my first chess name when I was in Human Combat Chess.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. It's a really good one to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think marshmallow for myself as well. Are we all doing marshmallow? Is that what I was? Yes? Okay. Nobody is saying no, so.
I wonder if it's maybe, what can you eat just a thousand of?
Oh, God.
Tater tots.
What could you eat a meter of? Marshmallows or tater tots?
Marshmallows, but I can only eat like a handful and then I'm done.
I can go through a bag. Of the large ones.
Oh God, that's just so I can't.
I am not a healthy man.
No,
no. Neither, a life lived in marshmallow is a life worth having.
Neither am I, but marshmallow is too rich for me. It's just too sugary. I need something a little bit more substantial.
Ball pit full of marshmallows.
That would get really gross really fast.
Yeah.
No. Like that would get really gross
Maybe like a really swimming fast pool full of lime jello with marshmallows in it.
No! Jello is like the worst slimy food.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
That's we should move on. quick, hurry. Question number 5.
Ding.
Head and shoulders.
Knees and toes.
Or knees and toes.
Yay! I win. What do I
Oh, I would love it if there was like a body shampoo, a body wash
called knees and toes. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah,
for people with psoriasis or something, you know, like it's good. It's thoughtful, I think.
And then you could sell it as a package.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Yeah.
So would you say your answer is both?
It can't be. I've got to choose A or B.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in a moment, we'll find out who is right.
And who no. Is dead. Okay. So I'm going. This is what I'm going to let the lyrics of the song answer for me. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes.
Ah.
I'm because I don't like things in my face, and head and shoulders sounds very close to the face. I'm gonna go with knees and toes.
Okay.
Which is the funnier place to be hit with a frying pan? Like comedy frying pan, I think the head is definitely the like one of the three funniest places to be hit with a comedy frying pan.
Yeah, but if you've got somebody who knows how to pratfall, taking them out at the knees can be hilarious.
It's so awful.
Yes.
It's so mean.
There's clowning often.
Clowning, well, I guess clowning goes with the humor tragedy, or humor equals tragedy minus you.
Pretty much.
Or was it Groucho Marx that said the difference between comedy and tragedy is that when I get a paper cut, it's a tragedy, but when you fall down an open manhole and die, it's comedy.
Oh God, I don't know if that was him. It sounds like him.
I think Benjamin Franklin said that.
Oh yeah, it was Michael Scott.
I can't tell who's joking anymore.
Yep.
All right. So yeah,
welcome
I'm gonna go
to the podcast.
I'm gonna go knees and toes. You're going knees and toes. James, are you going?
I'll go head and shoulders.
All right, you're going head and shoulders. All right. Now we open up the second part here, and we have question number one: Question number one: rough or smooth?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you prefer chunky soups like beef stew?
Yes.
Or ones that have been blended smooth like broccoli potato soup?
Oh my God! I love chunky broccoli soups. Potato.
And James, no, you cannot even think about blended beef stew. Just you.
Is that in the email? In the form?
I am reading that word for word.
The man knows me. All right.
I don't like soups. But I suppose I would like, if we're talking about stew, then I would go chunky.
I definitely would go chunky.
Yeah. So rough. Yeah. I picked rough, and I like it.
Smooth.
You guys were right. It was going to be about food.
Yeah. I like a creamy soup.
Very often it is. A lot of things come back down to food.
I think a lot of people write these when they're hungry. Or they write them when I'm hungry, and I think that's equally, going to cause
issues. They get sympathy hunger pangs?
Yes.
All right. Question number two was the ocean or outer space. Where do the best movie monsters come from?
I still stay the with unknown, my answer.
The unknown depths of the ocean or the vastness of space. Yeah, Godzilla. I got it. I got to agree that the ocean monsters are better.
Yeah.
Because there's something immediate about them.
Yeah, they are right there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing is because we haven't explored, you know, a lot of our own oceans, they could be there. Godzilla could be there.
The vastness, the space monsters are often highly intelligent because they've had to somehow get here.
Yeah.
And so they're intelligent whereas like ocean monsters, there's something primal and about them. You can't reason with them. You know, they're beastly and scary and, you know.
Or you could be like the Mars Attacks Martians.
Who are
just here to troll Earth and kill everyone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was absolutely hilarious. But even then, there was an intelligence there. You could try talking to them. You could try reasoning them with them. You know,
it wouldn't work.
No, it absolutely wouldn't work. But there's still that level of maybe if I just say the right thing, I can get through to them. Where Godzilla, no.
I know.
No, yeah, try talking to Godzilla. Uh-huh, no. All right, question number 3, foot or meter? When buying shoes, do you grab a size you think will fit and try it on, foot, or do you use one of those sizing gauges or other forms of measuring and a size chart to determine which shoe size should fit, meter? This one's for you, James.
I don't get to buy shoes in a store.
Oh.
Like, very few, if any, stores have shoes in my size. And so I have to order them by size from the interwebs. Almost always. My sister found, 2 pairs of shoes in her entire store that were large enough for my feet. Okay. And I picked one because she was adamant that I was going to get a pair of boots from her store. She fucking hates the ones that I have.
Yeah, no, I think I'm happy that I went with foot. I know what size the shoes are that I'm wearing now. So when I buy new shoes, I just kind of grab the same size and start there.
I'm happy I chose foot, but that's also because I have extremely crazy feet that need special shoes, so I have to know how my feet feel or my whole skeletal system will fall apart.
They've got the crazy feet.
Oh, heavens.
I'm so fragile. No, I just have pronating ankles and high arches.
Do you have the arches with the like built up corners?
Like I have to wear like special inserts and stuff.
Yeah, I've got for my fest boots. I've got the insoles that are like built up on the outside, so that my foot rolls inward.
Nice. Mine's also just because my arches are so high. The middle of my feet on both sides, you can just take your finger and go boop and go straight under my foot. They're lifted straight up.
Wow. All right. Question number 4, marshmallows or tater tots?
I'm scared of this one.
If the government was going to outlaw one of these two items. In potluck dishes, which should it be and why? Show your work.
Well, I really like marshmallows, but at the same time, I don't go to a lot of potlucks.
Plus, they're almost universally used in Jell-O salads. So.
Also, yeah,
Jell-O and sweet potato set.
I can't eat most things at potlucks because of how much I usually go to potlucks with a lunchbox because most of the things I can't eat.
Sure. I feel like the number of dishes that marshmallows go in, half of them I don't want to eat anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, tater tots just, like, go with everything kind of in a potluck. Yeah. So, yeah, I would absolutely keep the tater tots. And it doesn't say they have to outlaw them entirely just for potluck purposes. You can still have marshmallows for your s'mores and, you know, your throwing up in the air and catching them in your mouth purposes. So, yeah, I would say that the marshmallows needs to go.
Oh, they say they've got to go marshmallows.
That works surprisingly well.
All right.
We got lucky.
I just have Godzilla on the brain now. All right.
If we had gone with tater tots, it would not have worked nearly as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Are we all, anybody else?
I think
I'm good.
I would be sad if it was tater tots. I'll have another serving of tater tots.
Okay.
I can actually eat tater tots, so I would be okay with the serving of tater tots.
Yeah, they are not smooth at all.
Yeah. They're quite crunchy.
Indeed.
But reheating them is a different story.
I think smooth tater tots are just potatoes. I think those are just, they're just perfectly smooth.
But even like mashed potatoes is rough. Like they have a rough texture.
Yeah, there's a graininess to them, and
I love it. I love that.
Well, like there's a like there's a thing where like cooking shows are like make the smoothest mashed potatoes around, and it's like showing where they're like pureeing it to within an inch of its life, and then adding a lot of cream and butter until it's basically a liquid. And I'm like, God. No. I want skin on potatoes with lumps in it. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just got old man. I just got old man get off my lawn on the podcast suddenly.
I mean, it's what we're used to, honestly. Let's be real.
All right. Question number 5, head and shoulders or knees and toes? We're all getting old. Where are most of your aches and pains?
Knees.
Your knees shoulders, toes. Arms, and neck, or your knees, ankles, and feet? I deliberately left out back as an answer on purpose.
Thank you.
Thankfully, he didn't say wrists and fingers, because that's where a lot of my... It's my hands and my knees. But he didn't. He left hands out, so I got to go with knees straight up.
Yeah, I got carpal tunnel, so and arthritis in my hands.
Yeah, I've got arthritis in my hands and my knees. So
that's like knees and toes. You know what? Because if I have the wrong shoes, it affects my knees first. I'd say yeah, my knees and toes first.
All right. All right, that has been all 5. Troy wraps this up by saying, I usually theme my Fast Fives, but this was obviously not the case. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to hear it in the year 2027.
It keeps getting longer.
Love and cashews, Troy to Troy. Yeah. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please go to the website and click on the Submit a Fast Five button. It'll take you right to the form. You fill out the form, you hit send, and you're done. It's that easy. We take care of the rest. Does anybody have a shout out?
I do.
Shout it out.
I would like to give a shout out to Celtic Croft, also which I think is the website Kilts and Things. Kilts and Stuff.
Stuff
and kilts.
Kilts dash n dash stuff.
Stuff. Yeah.
Kilts stuff.
Not only have they been an amazing resource for me for, you know, various Scottish clothing items and swords and things like that, but they sell haggis. Admittedly, it's canned haggis, but that's as good.
But on Robbie Burns night, that's where we had to go to get our haggis because.
Yep.
Because we had to get it in short notice.
In desperate times.
Yes.
You take the haggis that you can find.
Well, yeah. we had more people than we were expecting originally, and we needed more haggis.
Yep. So, thank you to them.
All right.
Like, I do have a shout out I'd like to do, just because I have another friend who's starting her own small business, and she could really use a boost.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, she does pharmacist with herbal wellness. So she actually gathers herbs herself as she goes mushroom hunting and all of that.
Oh.
And gathers things together to make things. And she's a pharmacist herbal and wellness. So she's pharmacistherbalwellness.com. She could use a bounce. That's with Jess Faber.
Pharmacistherbalwellness.com. Go ahead and send me a link to that, and I'll try to get it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Rather than me having me try to dig through it right now, I'm giving my shout out to the brewery where this beer that I'm drinking came from, Shota Creek Brewing in Wagner, South Dakota. You make a fine brew here. Based on the website, looks like they specialize in a lot of Belgians styles, and I like Belgians. So, yeah. Again, if you're ever in the area of that area, I'm sorry, but check them out. Does anybody have anything they would like to plug? Maybe Addie might like to plug something.
Oh yeah, right. I'm like, I don't know, I think I already did that thing. But yeah, if you want to stop by the Bird Hive, birdhivedesigns.com, and get a shirt and feel good in your own skin. Mm-hmm. Yay.
What about the web comic?
The web comic. It's currently not updating, so it's until I have time to do it again. I'm kind of waiting on that one.
Okay. Well, if we don't want to send people there, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, hopefully someday. Someday.
Sure, but there's old episodes or old.
Yeah.
It's anyway. I do have something coming up, as a matter of fact. What am I talking about? Not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, May 7th and 8th, Casimir the Hungry will be at the Ren Fest of Nebraska, which is, down in Papillon, Nebraska, at the Bellevue Berry Farm. It's a really good site, so if anybody is able to get down there, I recommend it and checking that out. And then the weekend after, Casimir will also be at the Fantasy of the Lake Renaissance Festival, which is about an hour north of the Twin Cities. It's a fairly new-ish festival. What was it called back then? I can't remember what it was called, but anyway, it used to be called something different. They did it for 2 years and then COVID hit. So they're finally coming back with a new name and a new location. And it's like I said, about an hour north of the cities. I'm really looking forward to that. So, does anybody have any final thoughts?
Yes. Bye, bye. Love you. Bye, 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 bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this episode. A huge, giant, magnificent thank you to Addie for being here and being our guest and coming and talking to us about all of the amazing things. A big thank you to Troy Troy for sending in that Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha. Cha, 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 cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.